Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
With a reminder that there are a lot of ways by which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can listen on terrestrial radio. You can listen on satellite radio, Sirius XM 131. We also have a CRI app. And if you want to download the app, you can go to equip.org/app to do that. And when you do, you can listen, learn, share. You can listen to live Bible Answer Man broadcasts. You can listen to archived editions of the broadcast. You can also read articles on the app, and you can give in a safe, secure fashion. So go to equip.org/app and download the CRI app there so that you can listen with your smart device as well. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up, Jimmy. New Orleans, Louisiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi.
Hi, Hank. So I have a question regarding morality. I am Christian. I have a coworker who was formerly a Christian, and I think he's not self-identified, but if I had to identify his beliefs, I would call him a deist. But he does not believe in the Bible or any form of religion. So I questioned him as far as his morals go, and how can he have morals without being a Christian and without believing in God's commandments? Is that even possible for someone who was not raised in a religious system, regardless whether Christianity or anything, to have morals?
Yeah, it is, because even non-believers know the difference between right and wrong because of natural law. So can unbelievers display good morals? Again, the answer is yes. It's not necessary to believe in God to behave in ways that accord with conscience and decent morals. Of course, I know many atheists who are what you could call upstanding, respectable people. But of course, the Bible shows that all have sinned, none are righteous. So they, along with the rest of us, live with the fact that we have a willer that is bent in the wrong direction, if you will, a broken gene. And you cannot have the righteousness of Christ apart from Jesus Christ. And remember, when that righteousness is spoken about, Paul talks about it as a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. One other point, I think, in this regard, it's impossible to account for objective morality without God, but that's a different issue. You cannot explain or justify the existence of objective moral values and duties apart from God. So it all starts with God, but natural law is written on the canvas of our consciousness.
Understood. So a question that followed this conversation was related to something I saw in the news. It was a little boy in a foreign country being trained virtually from birth to be a killer. He was trained how to use automatic weapons. And the question came is that if his whole life from youth to adulthood, he's trained to kill and to murder, is his chance for salvation already written?
Well, no.
If he's not following any kind of moral code, what is it? Because essentially it's not his fault that he's being raised this way. He has no choice.
Well, he does have a choice. And the fact is that what we know for certain is what the Apostle Paul says when he's in the Areopagus. He talks about the fact that from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So what we know is that all of us have the light of creation. We look at the universe around us and we know there is a universe maker, just as certainly as if we would look at a basketball, we know that there's a basketball manufacturer. And then God has written, and I just alluded to this earlier, he's written a knowledge of right or wrong on the canvas of our consciousness. And therefore, as Paul says, we are without excuse. And thirdly, what we are promised is that if we search after light, we will receive light. Now, I cannot deal with every possible anecdote, but God can. And I know that in eternity, he takes into consideration every single converging factor, such that his justice and his love is on display in perfection. So while I cannot deal with all the anecdotes, God will deal with them in perfect love and perfect judgment. I can't, again, fully cash that out. I don't have the capabilities because I can't take into consideration all the converging factors in all human situations, but God promises that his justice and love is absolutely perfect, such that when we stand in the great assize with people from every tongue and people and nation, we will be delighted in his judgment, because we will say, just as if we were standing in a courtroom and we knew that the judge fairly considered every factor, we would be very happy with the verdict.
Good stuff. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ron next, San Antonio, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ron.
In Genesis 29 and 30, finishing up in chapter 36, gives a list of the 12 tribes, Israel's sons. Then we go to Numbers, and Levi's pulled out. This is for the inheritance of the promised land. Then we go to Revelation. I got ambushed by Jehovah's Witness while I was minding my own business, cutting grass. That the list in chapter 7 of Revelation is different than that of the chapters in Genesis and Numbers. So I researched it all out, got a whole bunch of different answers. So I called you, figure I'd bounce it off of you, get an answer from you, and then I'll weigh it against everything else I got. But right now I've got Ephraim was left out because the tribe of Ephraim was king at the time of the 10 northern tribes, and the tribe of Dan led them into idolatry, so that's why Dan and Ephraim were pulled off the list. Go ahead. It's your best shot.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Actually, also, Dan was largely obliterated. But you think about this as you go through Scripture, and you allude to this in the prologue to your question, there are no fewer than, I think, 20 variant lists of the tribes. These lists can include anywhere from 10 to 13 tribes, actually, and thus no list in and of itself needs to be identical. Rather, the context determines the list that is used in any given time. And this is very commensurate with this idea that words and phrases in Scripture are not univocal, they are equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context gives them. And so these tribes are listed in such a way to make a point. And of course, the point in Revelation with respect to the variant lists is very, very interesting, because the number 144,000 is used. 12 times 12 times 1,000, or the 12 apostles of the Lamb times the 12 tribes of Israel times 1,000. And the idea there becomes the full complement of God's people. So on the one hand, numbered, on the other hand, a great crowd that no one can number. The Jehovah's Witnesses have taken this passage and they've completely prostituted it. So what they now have is the belief that God has two classes of people. The one class is a heavenly class. 144,000 get to go there, but all those tickets are sold. The other is an earthly class, a great cloud. But actually, biblically, this is not how the Bible refers to it. The two are identical. They are not different. So the 144,000 and the great multitude are not two different people, but two different ways of describing the same purified bride. Literarily, the 144,000, the great multitude, are comparable to the lion and the lamb. The point being that just as John is told about a lion, and then he turns to see a lamb, so he was told about the 144,000, and he turns to see a great multitude. Thus, the takeaway being that the 144,000 is to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb, namely the same entity seen from two different vantage points. From one vantage point, as I said, the purified bride is numbered. From the other, she's innumerable. But the idea that God has two classes of people is simply unbiblical. The Jehovah's Witnesses are off base on that, as they are on other essentials. We'll be right back.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Hank will be back after this.
In City of God, Augustine contends that there is no absurdity or incongruity in asserting a fellowship between men and angels. Augustine doesn't argue for merely the existence of angels, but that angels interact with and influence our daily lives. Many today dismiss the reality and influence of angels, but throughout history, Christians have believed that angels assist us on our journey to God, and the book, Lifted by Angels, by Joel J. Miller, helps modern readers glimpse angels as the early Christians did. Lifted by Angels will awaken you to the presence and power of angels as the heavenly guides and guardians of our lives. To receive your copy of Lifted by Angels, the presence and power of our heavenly guides and guardians, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The problem with same-sex attraction conversion therapy is the way it is defined and presented, sometimes inaccurately, sometimes dishonestly. And like other forms of counseling, some of its practitioners have erred grievously, but that hardly calls for an end to sound versions of the practice itself. Other topics include history's bloody mess, why Marxism and socialism always fail, should Christians participate in boycotts, Athanasius, a C.S. Lewis of the early church, honoring dishonorable parents, the historicity of Moses, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Erica listening in Giddings, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Erica.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call. My question is about fear. So I know that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. So whenever you feel like fear has, I don't know how to really put it, but that fear has kind of like tried to attach itself to you, and you can feel it, can you rebuke it so that it doesn't come back, or will it come back, the spirit try over and over again, and we just have to resist it each time?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you need to do is meditate upon the word of the Lord. And when you meditate upon the word of the Lord, it can give you solace in the midst of the storm. And that's how you overcome. So, for example, when you have a feeling of fear, to meditate on Psalm 139, I think is very, very helpful. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Today, I was meditating on a different psalm, Psalm 34, but it had the same effect because I'm subject to these things as we all are. There are times where we have this overwhelming sense of inadequacy or fear or whatever it happens to be. And meditating upon the Word of God is an antidote. It is a way of calming our anxious hearts. You know, for example, I was meditating just before the show on Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. In other words, those who trust him, and he delivers them. I mean, that's a beautiful word of assurance coming directly from the mouth of the Lord to you. So I think meditating upon the Word of God, I often also harness my wandering and anxious mind by praying a prayer that's called the Jesus Prayer. And essentially it says, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So I recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I recognize that I'm very needy. I recognize that I'm a sinner. When I pray that, it is a way of, again, harnessing an anxious and a wondering mind and putting my thoughts where they need to be. So the Jesus Prayer has been very, very helpful for me.
Okay. Because it starts with, like, the thoughts, you know? And if I, for instance, like one particular person, whenever it's a person that I have to have contact with. And when I talk to that person, because of rejection in the past, fear comes with it. The moment I see their name on my phone, like, it's just like, you know, and it's like, I don't want to talk to that person, but I have to because I have a child with that person, and it's related to the rejection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, I've had that same experience. Usually a particular email come from a particular person, and it just... it's like a pang in the heart. It's very, very difficult to explain, but it can be overwhelming at times. But yeah, it's always turning back to the Lord, and there are no quick fixes. We don't look for a magic cure in the moment of need, but we discipline ourselves so that we have, in essence, a life of faith and trust in God that helps us overcome difficult circumstances.
Okay. Well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate your time.
You got it. I appreciate your call as well. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Carl in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Carl.
Hello, Hank. I have a question in regard to John 6:44, where Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. And he repeats that again shortly thereafter that. And I'm just wondering, I personally believe that at one time or another, everyone during their life is called at some point, but they respond differently. And I think there's scripture that supports that. Like, I don't know if it's 1st or 2nd Peter, I think, where it says, God is long-suffering, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And verses like, many are called, but few are chosen. I was just wondering if you can give me any other verses, maybe a little bit more exact. I'm looking for something that might say all are called, but few are chosen, if there is such a verse. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think that you've pointed some good passages, but you don't want to read John chapter 6 in the sense of fatalistic determinism, because there's no such thing in this passage. I mean, if you read it in context, the one thing you know is that this passage is not teaching determinism. Because if you start back at verse 35, Jesus is declaring, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes, this is a pretty strong anti-determinist statement, he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you don't believe. All the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Then later on, when you get to the passage that you're talking about, Jesus is not appealing to his own authority. He's appealing to the authority of the Father. That's what's going on there. But even in that immediate context, go on and read. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father, again, he's appealing to the Father, not appealing to his own authority in this context, and learns from him, comes to me. He who believes has everlasting life. So it's not determinism, but it's belief. And all Christians believe that God comes to those who are unregenerate first, because by definition, those who are unregenerate do not seek after God. That's precisely what Romans 3 tells us, right? No one seeks after God. So I think the idea here that determinism is part of the passage is simply where the mistake begins. You're reading something into the passage. I'm not saying you, but people read things into the passage that the passage isn't intended to communicate. Jesus is appealing to the authority of his Father here.
Okay. So do you think that there are people then, and not in regard to fatalistic determinism, that aren't called or who don't have. Certainly, I mean, there are people that are mentally incapacitated, things of that nature, different cultures that may never hear the word. But, you know, I'm just wondering if there was any other scriptural support.
Well, what is the whole...
One time or another, everyone is called, or what do you think?
God is not using any kind of high bar to keep people out of the kingdom. Okay, well, you couldn't believe... You were born in such a way that you couldn't respond to the gospel, and therefore you're out. I mean, he's not looking for barriers to keep us out of the kingdom, but rather he has done all that we might be reconciled to him. He's put us in the exact times and places that we should be so that we can respond to the gospel. That's the point that Paul makes at the Areopagus. Not only so, but think about that.
Not far from each of us, yeah.
Yeah, and think about the fact that we all have light. It's a matter of whether we respond to the light that we have. That's why he's placed a light within, a light without. If we respond to that, we can have the light of Christ. But it's a matter of responding to the wooing of the Holy Spirit as opposed to rejecting the wooing of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Appreciate your show.
You got it. Much more could be said on that subject, obviously. So you can hit the highlights. But we have actually on the web, you can find an article where there's a debate between a Calvinist and a non-Calvinist. And that really is very clarifying because you find the best arguments on both sides of the issue and you can study them for yourself in light of Scripture. Sometimes I help debate teams on this at a Christian school, as my kids have been going through certain class, and then I help them think through it in that same way. And that article has been very, very helpful to give the students a sense of how to go about this, how to not ask the text questions the text isn't intended to answer on the one hand. On the other hand, how to read, remind the Bible for all it's worth. Apologies to those still hanging on. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our contact information as we close out the broadcast on the webequip.org via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultants, you can catch them, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Do remember, we do what we do because life and truth definitely do make a difference. We do what we do because truth matters, life matters even more. And that life we can have abundantly. We can have it to the full. So long for now. Back next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
In City of God, Augustine contends that there is no absurdity or incongruity in asserting a fellowship between men and angels. Augustine doesn't argue for merely the existence of angels, but that angels interact with and influence our daily lives. Many today dismiss the reality and influence of angels, but throughout history, Christians have believed that angels assist us on our journey to God, and the book, Lifted by Angels, by Joel J. Miller, helps modern readers glimpse angels as the early Christians did. Lifted by Angels will awaken you to the presence and power of angels as the heavenly guides and guardians of our lives. To receive your copy of Lifted by Angels, the presence and power of our heavenly guides and guardians, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.